The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, I don't even believe it. Can you folks believe that this is the same day we woke up to? Well, I left the house. It was drizzle, gray. It's been that same ugly thing for the last 4 or 5 days. I've just been climbing the walls trying to figure out how to climb around it. Hope you've held up better than I have. Well, it's Thursday, 19 minutes after 12. I'm Richard Quigley. This is what I like to call the United States Freedom Fighter Forum. For the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to wander through various subjects. And hopefully with your participation, this is a talk radio show. And in light of that, the call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. If you want to send me a fax, today's a bad day. I didn't bring my glasses. So you especially have to going to have to write large or type large. But I'll attend your faxes as they come in. Another beautiful day in paradise from here, but what a surprise. I'd have ridden the bike down today, but as it is, I'm in the truck. Anywho, subjects for discussion. First thing I want to do is, I'm not sure whether it was last week or the week before, I managed to get Population Pat all upset with me because he believes I reneged on my idea about lowering the population by commenting inadvertently that I didn't think population was the problem in our society, or a major problem, and it really depends on your perspective. And Pat, I don't need any help with this today, but well, my solution was offered to Pat was, of course, a little tongue-in-cheek, facetious, I guess, where we line up all the people on the planet, have them count off by twos. At the count of three, all the ones shoot the twos or kill the twos, however how they do it. And we keep doing that until we get things peaceable. That's not really where I see the problems. Where I see the problems, quite frankly, is in people's inability to learn how to live with one another. We got plenty of room for all the people we have on this planet. We've got plenty of room to accommodate and feed and house. It's just that we don't know how to deal with that as a society, a global society. So, no, Pat, I'm not dismissing population explosion as a viable concern for the population, the population at large, but it's not something that I see in exactly the same light. Anyway, with that out of the way, I was up going up Branson 40 the other day, and this is going to be one of those things where we're actually going to see if we can get some listener participation. I've been listening to some of these talk shows lately, and I've been hearing people getting a little fed up with the fact that, yeah, we have audiences, but it seems like our audiences see us as a entertainment, for our entertainment value, but don't really get involved and follow on some of the things that we point out need to be done. So I thought I'd start small. One of the things that I've been doing since I've been to Santa Cruz is I've sort of made myself the unofficial flag monitor. And I drive around, and when I see a United States flag, I take a look. I always like to see a well-dressed building with a nice, clean, fresh-looking flag in front of it. And every once in a while, I see one that isn't, and I'll stop by, and I'll talk to the folks about it. And if they're government agency, they're responsible for fixing it. If it's a private person, of course, I talk about it a whole lot different, but it comes out of my respect for the veterans that I try to monitor these flags. It doesn't really cost me anything, at least not anything I can't afford to give up. Every once in a while, I get myself in a position by asking if it would help if I got them a new flag, and they say, yeah. Then I'm sort of on the hook to go buy one for them. But anyway, as I was driving up, I noticed that the flag outside the Branson 40 fire station there, they got a United States flag, and they got a California flag. And the United States flag looks like one of those that I bought from Ace Hardware here a couple of years ago. The red stripes faded on that thing within a matter of a couple, 3 months, and it made it look pretty bad. I went back to Ace, and they thought that was okay for a $25 flag, so I don't buy flags from them anymore. But my point is I think the guys there at the station house could use a new red, white, and blue. So I'm putting out the call today to the listening audience, fans or not, whichever, and see if we can't figure out a way to get them a brand spanking fresh new flag up there at that fire station. So serve our way, of, if nothing else. I mean, it shows, again, respect for the country and the flag and all that. And I think it would be our way of, it would be a real good way of letting those guys know that we appreciate their service in fire protection. So that's sort of on the plate today. We got any ideas how we can get a new flag for them outside of me digging in my pocket and buying one? You know, it's probably as bad as, well, it's not a terrible flag. It's not in terrible shape, but it is pretty rough. Their California flag is faded almost to white, but I don't really care. The principles of this state have diminished to the point that I don't know that we necessarily have to worry about what kind of shape the flag is in until we do something about the government. Speaking of which, the recall on Gray Davis is looking good. Looks like we might actually get one of those. So, anywho, there it is. Branch 40 Fire Department up on Branch 40. I think they need a new flag. If you agree, you got some ideas how we can get them one, get in touch. Call in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Fax line 475-2967. Freedom. Freedom. That's the Freedom Fighter Forum. I guess we want to talk about freedom. I was thinking the other day about how most people perceive the concept of freedom, and it's like we don't even know. Folks don't seem to realize just exactly how free the people that live in this country are not, and how many restrictions are on us. So I thought I'd poke around that avenue for a little bit with some of the insights that I had on it. And I started with the freedom to control your environment, the personal space, the areas that you travel, the things that you do. How much freedom do you have to control those things? And so let's start with our house. One, the old story used to be a man's home is his castle, and of course I don't think that it was generic specific. I don't think that was only about men, but it was not generic specific, gender specific, I'm sorry. I don't think it was only talking about men. I think it was talking about people in general. Your home is your castle. How much freedom do you have in your house, inside the four walls that constitute your home? And look at that, and think about that. And I've got myself set up where pretty much everything inside my personal space is handled. Everybody knows that if they've got any complaints, then they don't need to be there. So that I've got that knocked out, but I don't know how many other folks do. I see a lot of people in my travels that when they decide to have a cigarette, for example, will leave their house and go outside. Even my own son smokes in his garage rather than in his house. And it's I wonder about that. Whether he's doing that by choice, I give him a hard time about it from time to time, but a long time ago I made it clear to him that he's living his life and I'm living mine, so I have no area by which to judge his behavior. But I can't understand somebody that enjoys nicotine and cars and all those other terrible things that come from cigarettes, but they torture themselves by moving outside to smoke them. And what about the folks that how much freedom does a person have when they have to leave their own house to smoke a cigarette? So, to what degree do you have freedom inside your house? Who gets to come in? Who doesn't get to come in? Under what circumstances do they arrive? And how much do you get to control their behavior? And then we step outside the four walls and into the yard. And how much freedom do you have there? Can you you direct traffic in your own yard? Can you decide who comes in your yard, who doesn't come into your yard, and under what circumstances? And how comfortable do you feel about the ability maintain control over that. And then we get where it really gets hairy. This is where things start to move around, and that is, how much freedom do you have to control your environment once you leave your yard? Let's back up to the yard for a minute. Say you live out in the woods, and there's a lot of people in this county that do, because there's a lot of woods, in case y'all hadn't noticed. What happens if you decide you want to build a shed to store all the stuff that's been sitting out in the rain, and you want to go out there and build the shed? You don't get to do that, I don't believe, in this society. I don't think you have the freedom for the determination of the future of your land. You want to go out there and build a little 10 by 20 or 12 by 14 or whatever shed, and whatever materials you want to use, whether you use metal or you use cardboard or you use plywood, whatever. You don't have that right, and people don't seem to be bothered by that. At least, by and large, they don't seem to be bothered. And we're getting real close to the planning department here. I'll be there in a minute. And what happens if you've got enough land and you do want to build a second place to live? You know, one of the things that I'm been pounding on for years around here is the housing problem and the rental problem, because I think it's such a huge part of the potential future failure of this county economically, is that we are providing for no future. The young people that are born and raised here have very little chance of being able to raise their families here, unless mom and daddy are just rolling in dough. The pickings are pretty slim. The labor force is going to be getting smaller and smaller. It's going to be harder and harder to find people to employ. Business does not move to this area because they simply cannot afford to pay people what they need to make in order to rent a house in this county. And we've got these restrictions on the inability for people to build. And do those make sense to you? I mean, does it make sense that a guy that's got 8 acres of land can't put 4 or 5 houses on it to house 4 or 5 people? Hold on just a second. I've got to take care of something. Hold on just a minute.
Bird cages, baby clothes, bar stools, and more. You'll find it in the Sentinel Classifieds. Just look it up.
Well, sorry about that. Little family emergency there. Okay. Planning department, can you build a place on your own land? One of the things that I've been talking to people about in relation to fixing the rental problem in this county is solutions to that problem. And one of them I have is, do we want more houses in this county, by the way? Is anybody interested in solving this problem, or is it just something that I'm focused on and I'm all full of it? This is Talk Radio. If you're looking for your input at 479-1080. You can call it 477-1340, fax me at 475-2967, and let me know what you think about the housing problem. One of the solutions I've put out there and have been bouncing around is that I'm thinking that what would happen if the county took all that money that they've got tied up in the stock exchange and they cashed that out and brought it back to the county and offered it up in the way of very low interest grant/loans to property owners that have room for a second dwelling on their property, waived the building permit fees, or at least got them down to where you're covering the actual cost of an inspector to come out and make sure that the house is to code. We don't want a bunch of fire traps going up, but you understand what I'm saying. The planning department doesn't need what they charge for permits to administer what they would reasonably and logically do. They only need all that money so that they can terrorize people that pretend to own property here. Anyway, so make that money available at, let's pick a figure like whatever the rate of inflation is, what, plus 1%? That would make sure that we had a positive cash flow on the money that was out there. And we'd be able to flood the market with houses. And it wouldn't be low-income dwellings here or low-income dwellings there. It would be houses throughout the county so that the infrastructure would be taxed all the way across the board. I mean, people would have to get from one place to another on the same roads as everybody else, but you wouldn't be building a bottleneck or a particular area where you would be putting in, and I'm not talking about low-cost housing necessarily, because I think if you flood the market with housing, what you're going to end up with is the old capitalist theory of supply and demand taking over. And there's going to be a few carpetbaggers going to be upset by that. But for the most part, it'll get rents down to where people can start living within their means. And when I'm talking about within their means, I'm talking about the young family that's trying to arrange for their kids' future, that need medical insurance to be able to deal with the cost of medical care, that need to have a right to some sort of a future. And all of that money is being spent right now for rent. And so I see the problem is that just loading up the place with housing and get all kinds of houses available to people here in the county and lower the cost to them. That will lower the wage requirements, which will bring more business, which will bring, I see all kinds of ways to benefit if we can get this housing thing in line. Somebody's calling from Seaside. I'm going to talk to them first. I don't have a name. Hell, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, talk to me.
You can have a little shed. There's a square footage minimum required on. They consider it temporary building.
I wonder about it. What is that you can have? That's when I get back to that freedom thing. Why can't you have whatever you want?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
Well, and how are we going to do that? And where did it get away? I mean, I sit there and I look at that, and I look at people that make the payments on property, and they're paying anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 or $5,000 a month for a piece of ground.
Yeah.
And they have all these restrictions on what they can do with it, as if they were merely renters. And in essence, the county owns the ground, and so you have to seek permission from the real landowner to do something with property that you theoretically own. I mean, I don't think that this is something that your parents had to live with. My parents didn't. Certainly their parents didn't. What is it about today that we need this kind of regulation, and what has happened to that ownership?
Well, you're right. You can tell from a lot of the housing units that... Well, at the time they didn't require permission, so now they're calling them illegal. I would put that up. That's probably because of the mandarins in our government. I mean, the bureaucracy.
Yeah, but okay. But so you're going to agree with me that people that claim to own their property don't?
Oh no. You're right. You got to pay those taxes, or else you won't own it for long.
Well, now I don't. Again, taxes make sense. Taxes support infrastructure. I don't have a problem with property taxes, and I don't have a problem with sales taxes. I mean, there are a lot of taxes that make sense, but the one that I don't get is the one that says that you cannot make decisions about what you're going to do on the land that you occupy and pay for. The improvements are limited. Everything that you want to do is limited by somebody that doesn't own any of it.
Well, I think the state had passed a law, and because I built a granny unit for a gentleman back in the early 80s, and at that time, the granny unit, the state passed the law. I think the granny unit had to be under 745 square feet.
Okay.
Which will give you very small two bedroom.
But again, okay.
We put the granny unit on top of it. We took the guy's roof off.
Yeah.
And then built the second story on it, which was a separate granny unit.
Well, today you couldn't do that because the Coastal Commission would be out there to explain how much of the view you're cutting off.
Yeah, well, that's not right either, I don't think. You know, I mean, when you buy the land, you buy the air above it, too.
You would think that you would buy that. Well, the scenic part is I have mixed feelings about that whole thing, but the one thing that I do not have mixed feelings about is the degree to which people cannot demonstrate the right of ownership on property that they, in theory, own. We have... This planning department, I think, is the biggest nightmare. One day I'm going to do a whole show on the Santa Cruz County Planning Department and what we can do to get rid of them. But, yeah, okay, thank you. You can build it. You have the permission of the real landowner to build a 10-by-10 storage shed. Have I got you?
No. Well, 10-by-10 would be 200 square feet. I think it's about 140 square feet. okay. that you're allowed.
Well, your math's off a little bit, but 10 by 10 would be 100 square feet. But so so you go like 10 by 14 before the real owners step in and tell you you can't do that.
And I believe that what I was telling you about back in the 80s with the granny law, that they enacted that law, I think, for people over 55 years of age. Now, when this gentleman had that unit built, he had a contract that he was going to rent that out to his parents who were over the age of 55, and that's why he was allowed to build it at that time.
Right. They had another thing during the Jerry Brown administration where people could build homes on their property without seeking a whole bunch of permission if they weren't just doing it to improve the property and sell if they were going to use it for housing. I think that required county approval. And as I recall the conversations on that, Santa Cruz County opted not to get involved in that because this county does not want people to think they or actually own anything. They want them to think they do, but they don't want them to. Now, listen, thanks very much for the call. I'm going to reach over here and grab, it looks like Ada from Live Oak. Is it? Can I see this right? Is it Ada?
Ada, yeah. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I basically love what you talk about. On the other hand, on this housing thing, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a jillion small houses and freedom and liberty and the things you like.
Well, how's
it's
that
not possible?
How does that work?
Well, because if we had all the little liberties that you and me and I would like, all these jillion little people would have it too, and they would mess up the place. And we would not any longer have a nice garden spot to live in, and those of us who love freedom, liberty, and joy would no longer have it ourselves.
You know, that's probably one of the world's oldest discussions and contemplations, and I just don't believe it. I think I hear what you're saying, and it's like, we don't want to put in all these houses because here will come the people, and then the more people that you have, the less room you have to move around, and therefore your freedom is restricted.
That's the reason the freedom is restricted already. In the olden days, before we moved here, the people had the liberty. In other words, not that I'm defending the government by all means. I certainly don't. I wish they'd all go away, and I think the planning department is terrible. Point is, I believe the concept of low-cost housing is simply in people's head. It's imaginary. It can't be done because it's not life. It's not real.
Well, I'm doing some more research on this because I'm getting ready to go on and take this trip on the road where I'm going out and talk about this kind of thing. So I am open to suggestion, observation, and comment. Most certainly.
I want my house in Bel Air. Then, if you want low cost housing, I want my low cost housing in Bel Air.
I don't know that I necessarily want low cost housing, but don't you think that reasonable should be the ticket? And really, do we have the right? Do we have the right as a society to take Santa Cruz County off the grid and say, okay, only the rich can live here?
We are not the ones who take it off the grid. The economics have taken it off the grid. The climate has taken it off the grid. We are not taking it off the grid.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. Hold on one second. I got to get up the call out lines. This is KSCOM 1080. Call in talk radio 479-1080, 477-1340. I couldn't disagree more. And the reason is that if you effectively shut down new construction, you create a housing shortage. That housing shortage will respond to supply and demand, and then the rents go off the scale. So then you become elitist because the only people that can afford to move here are the ones that can afford to move here.
But the point is, in this particular day and age, as I understand, now we live in a mobile home park, which we picked out long ago as one kind of place that probably nobody else would want. We could handle it in Santa Cruz, and they probably wouldn't kill us. But we can't do anything in mobile home park, not only because of the county rules, because of mobile home park rules. So, you know, you have to just depend on whatever dictatorship you choose to live under. The idea of liberty and freedom, which is the thing I value, is the thing that will go out the door whenever you get what you want.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I guess there's no way for me to intelligently argue about that today. I hear what you're saying. You're saying that population pad is to some degree right. You just got too many people around in order to be free.
You can probably get it. I mean, I'm sure you could get a couple of acres that you could do anything you want to in the Mojave.
Oh, yeah, sure. But
Yeah, sure.
that's like people talk about, if you want to be free, go to Montana. Well, I wasn't born in Montana. And don't we have If we don't have a claim to a piece of land when we hit the planet, don't we at least have the right to somehow or other tie ourselves to the place of our birth?
We have a right. I'm a dues-paying libertarian. We have a right to our own body, and they're trying to take that away. Thank you very much. They're trying to take away our food and our right to be fat or thin. I mean, in other words, they're inching away on our right to our own damn body. Now, if you don't call that a danger, I don't know what is.
You want to know something, Asa? I couldn't have summed up the whole point of my conversation today any better than that. Thank you very much for your call. I didn't mean to cut her off there. Liberty, I don't think income tax is something I wanted to do today, but I am going to talk to Max about land use. Max, are you there?
Hi, how are you doing? Say, you know, I'm from Orange County, which was the wealthiest county in the United States for many, many years.
Me too, by the way.
Oh, really? I'm from Newport Beach. And what can I say? I watched that whole area, which reminds me very much of Santa Cruz, deteriorate.
Just disappear.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. You know, you used to be able to drive on the freeway for 15 minutes and go from point A to point B. And because they put so much little squeeze box housing down there, that drive took 2.5 hours. Because of the roadways, they just didn't have the base to. They didn't want to build more roads.
Max, were you around when they put those freeways in? Because I was.
I was too.
Wasn't that amazing? And do you remember the trip from Santa Ana to Fullerton used to take about 30 minutes, between 20 and 30 minutes, and it was those two-lane roads that drove out through the orange groves.
Right.
And there was eucalyptus trees on both sides of those.
It was gorgeous.
It was an amazing place.
Well, I used to collect butterflies and roam the hills where University of Southern California, or of Irvine, is right now.
Right, Irvine Ranch. Sure.
You know, and I knew the Irvines. And, you know, this idea of a planned community and dense housing and everything, this all sounds wonderful. But the fact of it is, even with the many educated, well-meaning big bucks in Orange County, it didn't work. And you know, my experience, right or wrong, is that... it sounds very weird, but you have to go the opposite way to make it work. And that is, you have to have outrageous housing prices where nobody can afford to live here but the wealthy. And I'll tell you, that makes the kind of community that you'd like.
No.
Yes.
Oh, no, not at all.
Oh, yes. I told you it was weird.
Well, I think I hear what you're saying, but no, I know. No, no.
Yeah, I know. It's a crazy.
Well,
but I've seen it try to work the other way. And in fact, I've seen it several times in different places. And the rhetoric is good and the dedication of the people. But something somewhere is just like free market. It doesn't come across. It just boggles up. And here's a good example.
Please.
Oh, okay. Over at the university, and I'm there, they've just started up with putting bulletin board markets for housing for students.
Sure.
And they're requiring, like a 5-bedroom house, they're requiring 2 students per room at $650 a student. That's $7,000 a month.
Sure.
And that's double the price of what people are getting for the average rent today.
Absolutely. Apparently you weren't listening to me that I pointed out that being the problem.
So if you put in some granny units, you know, it's not going to be reasonable houses. They're going to cater to students, and that little 10 by 14 is going to wind up being about $950 because everything else will have been doubled, you know, regular housing. So a student would be grateful to live alone for about $950 in a 10 by 14 little shack behind somebody's house.
Yep, I got it. Max, it's one of the things that I've been screaming about. And by the way, I think Steve Hartman has been on that too. We really need to develop a situation with the university where they either house them or don't enroll them. I believe that one of the major problems that we have in this area with rent is that the UCSC is not required to house all their students. And I'm going to have to let you go, but thank you very much for the call, Max.
My pleasure.
It's good meeting somebody that actually was born and raised down in Orange County. I did it again. I cut somebody else off. Didn't mean to do that. Bob in Santa Cruz, I'm trying to get through everything here. Bob?
Richard, how are you doing?
Welcome to KSU. I'm kind of lumbering through today. The call-in lines, by the way, are 479-1080, 477-1340. I'll be honest with you, I'm in a fog. Between Max and other contemplations and my little family emergency here, I'm just holding it together. But so you got the floor, Bob. Go for it.
Well, property is an interesting concept, and it's the government's role to enforce property claims. And hence we get things like title and deed. In fact, I'm not sure that you actually even own your car.
It's my understanding that when you register it, you give up the ownership.
And certainly property comes with a deed, which is provided by the state, by the government.
When you have money, when you have borrowed money against, you know, Franklin said neither borrower nor lender be. Yes, when you have a mortgage on your property, you have an obligation to that federal funding, which ties you to all the regulations that come down from there.
Even when your property is paid for, it doesn't really change the reality. Let me finish this. You have a deed of trust, which is provided to you by the government, which can rescind that deed of trust. It's called eminent domain. They can do basically whatever they want. Deed restrictions are very, very normal and practical and, in fact, necessary.
Well, to the point where they limit your ability to enjoy the rights of ownership?
Well, that is, of course, negotiable, and that's what moves due process back and forth, Richard. I know people are uptight here in Santa Cruz about various things, right? So how much do you give each way while maintaining some so-called quality of life that people get off on? But my point being that property is a grant from the government, and it's from that grant by the government that everything else happens, like zoning restrictions and eminent domain.
Well, Bob, from your understanding, how long has it been that way? Was there ever a time when somebody actually owned their land?
No, never. Never, except in a feudal situation where the king owned everything. But even in a feudal hierarchy, the barons paid tribute to the king, right? So basically the king called the shots and owned the property.
Well, and
actually the king had rights of succession too, right? They could pass it on to their progeny.
Right.
I think other than that, there really is property, little chunks of land that you claim that you own. In fact, ownership just in general, Richard, property, not necessarily just real estate, but anything of value. Your right to ownership is in some degree controlled by the government because you can then do a claim on possession or loss through the government. The government protects assets is one way to put it. And a sure way, I think an undisputable way, is real estate.
Well, how do you...
There is no real estate property without the government dictating deed.
And how do you personally feel about that?
I don't think there's any way around it. It's the best solution possible. And we can negotiate back and forth, as I said earlier, with due process in regards to what authority the state has on a local or national or regional basis. But the bottom line is that real estate, and not just real estate, but property, is granted by the state.
Well, if you're correct, and there's no reason for me to presume that you're not, because I'm... It certainly functions that way. If it's not actually set up that way, it functions that way. It would seem to me that that sort of dismisses the reality of us being a free society.
We're free to the degree that freedom can be expressed within the constraints of the society. I mean, that's the way it is de facto. There are laws, and there are laws that are not necessarily enforced. There is, of course, selective enforcement. You can have an illegal unit on your property, and it may or may not be enforced, right? They can do a roundup of all the pot smokers in Santa Cruz and enforce that law because they have a grant to do it. And maybe there'll be grants, you know, money grants from the state, from the feds or whatever. to push those things along. But I think that's how the process works, Richard. Activism is good, but I think people are uptight with the Planning Commission because Santa Cruz has this interesting perspective of being near a very, very wealthy economic engine. Even with the downturn, the skidding, Silicon Valley is not going away.
Right.
Nor is the Bay Area for its global impact.
Well, but what has gone away, in my point of view, is the spirit and for all intents and purposes, the soul of Santa Cruz County as I recognized it when I moved here 25 years ago.
It may have been more Wild West then, and I think that's part of it, too.
I think it was more tolerant and accepting in 25 years ago. In fact, it was the tolerance of the community for the members of the community that attracted me.
I'll call myself in that community, too. But let's just take the example of squatting. There comes a point just upon the pressure of the community where squatting is less tolerated.
Well, are you talking about the camp that was set up down by the river last year?
Camps, not just that camp, but camps in general. Squatting and Santa Cruz no longer has that much of a valve for low rent unless it's controlled somehow.
Well, as far as I know, there is no valve for low rent. The last lowest rent I ever saw in an individual dwelling was an absolute piece of junk old travel trailer sitting out in the woods, $500 a month for a trickle shower. And I looked at that and I just, where's the future? Where's the future?
Well, the middle class is eroding, in my opinion, big time. Biggest shift since probably the 50s or the 60s. And it's exacerbated here in Santa Cruz. But I think you're seeing the very bottom end and those that can afford to live here. And
okay.
Those pressures are real. They're
right.
Real.
Well, I know it, and the rental pressures are. Thank you very much, Bob. That insight's a little depressing, but it's at least helpful in helping me explain to my audience what my frustration is. And I'm going to try not to be neurotic about the whole thing. I mean, I've tried for years not to be neurotic about the whole thing. And so that you'll understand what I mean when I say neurotic, the layman's understanding, as I get it, is that a psychotic is somebody that believes that 2 + 2 = 3. A neurotic knows that 2 + 2 = 4. They just can't stand the idea. And it may be that we do not have the freedom to own property in this country anymore. Or maybe we only have the freedom to own property where it is so valueless that nobody with money or power is going to come in and take away that freedom. I don't know. There's some scary pictures in there from my point of view. This is not consistent with what I was taught as a young man in school. For those of you that haven't been to my webpage, usff.com, the opening line in that page is that when I was much too young to know to or otherwise effectively protest, I was locked in a room with 30 other kids and told I would stay there until I learned what is now dismissed as that Thomas Jefferson, John Adams crap, which now I'm told I must forget or I'll end up in a much smaller room by myself until I do. I don't know about your training in school. When I was in school, I was taught about the value of freedom and about the beauty of this country as being the light of freedom for the world and the next rest of our lives. And what I see is that in my lifetime, it has deteriorated to just a shame. It's just a shame. And when people, my conversation today, I have no way to argue with Bob. He's certainly right. My point was going in that we have no way to justify our statement that we own property because we don't. We don't even have the right to insist that our children be otherwise educated outside our home. Our kids don't belong to us. Our homes don't belong to us. Our vehicles don't belong to us. The bundle of rights that we carry is getting smaller every year. And I think somewhere along the line, I'm going to see if I can find the button to push to see if I can't help people start to begin to reclaim their freedoms in small ways from now into the future. I believe liberty is the best that there is. This is KSCO, AM 1080 Santa Cruz. This has been another Thursday afternoon show. Sorry about the interruptions and the rough stuff. Hope we did good by you. Thank you, Michael. I'll see you guys next week. We'll